أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Today I'm going to be presenting the translation and the tafsir of Dua number 23 of the month of Ramadan. This is the daily dua that is found in Mafatih al-Janan. This is a tafsir that was given by Sayyid Ali Murtaza Zaidi 3 years ago. I'm merely translating it and presenting it in front of you today. So dua number 23 of day 23 is as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ghsilni fihi min al-dhunub wa tahhirni min al-uyub wa amtahin qalbi fihi bitaqwa al-qulub ya muqila athirat al-mudhnibin. The first line says, Allahumma ghsilni fihi min al-dhunub. O Allah, on this day wash away my sins. وَطَحِّرْنِي مِنَ الْعُيُوبِ. Purify me from all flaws. وَامْتَحِنْ قَلْبِي فِيهِ بِتَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Examine my heart for the piety of the heart. يَا مُقِيلَ عَثِرَاتِ الْمُذْنِبِينَ. O one who overlooks the shortcomings of the sinner. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد. So the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have mentioned in this 23rd dua.
Please keep the noise down so we can listen here.
The night of the 23rd is popular as Laylatul Qadr, as we all know. According to the Ahlul Bayt, it is recommended that we worship all three nights, the 19th, the 21st, and the 23rd. But nonetheless, we shouldn't get too concerned about which, you know, debating which night is the most, the one we should worship the most. But as we know in our riwayat, we find that the 23rd is the most well-known and the most precise one, along with the day as well. Now, the first thing we ask in this dua is, O Allah, wash away my sins. Now, the word we have used here is Allahumma ghsilni. It's the same word that is used in the word of ghusl. You know, the ghusl is the washing of the body, the entire body that we do. And we know in ghusl, one of the conditions is the water must reach every single part of our body. When you are taking the ghusl, every area of your body should be touched by water. The water should reach there. So similarly, the word here has been used very, you know, with the wisdom behind it, and that is that we are asking, O Allah, wash my sins in such a way that the purification of these sins is through all throughout my entire, you know, being, my entire person, my entire essence, and so that this sin, every single sin, is washed away. That wash it away in such a way that no speck, you know, remains dry or untouched from water. The water here being, you know, alluded to as a form of purification. Now, the reason for that is because every sin that we commit has an effect to it. Every sin has a particular effect that comes along with it. The effects of some of these sins are hidden. We may not see the apparent version of them in this world. You know, of course, there's the results of that are in the hereafter. But there are some sins that the effects of those are visible and apparent for us in this reality, here in this world, and now. So when we're asking Allah, we're asking Allah to wash away the sins that are apparent and that are hidden, the effects of which are apparent and hidden. Now, we're asking this because we know that sinning is against the fitrah, as we know, you know, the primordial nature of man. It's against that fitrah of man. Sinning is considered a lack of something. It is a disease for the human being. Something that is not intended or that's not normal for him. Now, we know that whenever we have a disease or an illness, it brings with it nothing but pain. That's, you know, one, or any kind of headache, whatever it may be, a migraine. So sins, you know, and of course that's one kind of disease or sickness. Now, another kind of sickness is one that has not only just pain accompanying it, it has a perpetual harm that is going to remain with you for a long period of time. It's going to be a continuous harm. So sins are very much like this. You know, so sins, you know, one type of sin is one that it's just disobedience to Allah. You'll be punished on the Day of Judgment. It may not have any apparent harm in this world, but at the same time, there are those sins that have a long-term effect. And most of those sins are of that type that have the perpetual harm, that have the long-term, you know, damage happening in this world on a continuous basis. It's like a disease which keeps getting worse and keeps spreading. You know, sinning is like that. sins spread one sin after another. So we're asking, oh Allah, completely wash our sins from that essence, that there may remain no pain of it, no long-term harm, and nothing remains of it, which is testified that I have sinned. So we're talking about a complete purification. And once this happens, there is a strong hope that this person will start worshipping Allah with more conviction, with more pleasure. He will move towards the true servitude of Allah, the true ubudiyat. Guidance will reach this person's heart more easily. So now we talked about the sins and their effects. The worst effect of sin in our life is the denying of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what does this mean? The laws of Allah are right in front of our eyes. Whatever Allah has placed importance on, He has laid it out right in front of our eyes. And even after having that, we blatantly go out and we disobey Him. And we blatantly do not undertake those commandments that have been enjoined upon us. So we're asking, Allahumma ghsilni fihi min adh-dhunub. Allahumma ghsilni fihi min adh-dhunub. Now, if we want to see the effects of something, like, let's talk about the effects that take place in the month of Ramadan. If we want to see all the worship and all the prayers that we have undertaken in this month, if they have been successful, one way to gauge this is to see if our willingness to worship has increased. Has the yearning to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased? Has the taste of our worship gotten sweeter? Has it gotten better? Do we find pleasure in worshiping Allah? Now it may be that this didn't happen to many of us. It may be that it didn't happen to many of us. Unlike the first few days of Ramadan, we're all excited and eager, time for purification, time for forgiveness, it's the month of mercy, we're going to do many things. But during these days, after the Laylatul Qadr, everybody probably knows from experience, laziness and procrastination catches up with us. And this means that our worship, and this can only mean that our worship throughout the month has been, it has been there, but it didn't leave a deep enough effect on us. We somehow managed to force ourselves to come this far, and the effects weren't powerful enough. So that way, if they were powerful enough, then our yearning and our pleasure of worship should have increased. Our tendency to worship Allah should have increased, our willingness. So it is safe to say that, by this time we're feeling exhausted and tired out. And if we're feeling lazy, then it's lazy in these days, then we can only imagine how the situation will be for us after the month of Ramadan is over. So we ask Allah to increase our yearning and our willingness to worship Him, to give us more tawfiq to worship Him. The next line is, وَتَحِرْنِي فِيهِ مِنَ الْعُيُوبِ. Oh Allah, purify me from all flaws. The first one we said, wash away all sins. Second one is talking about flaws. Now, no person here is flawless or infallible. Nobody is ma'soom here. The only people we know who are ma'soom are the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wassalam. They had no flaws, they had no shortcomings. But so what we're asking here is, make us so that, make us in such a state that our flaws gradually, decrease. At the very least, these flaws should be narrowed down to the ones that do not lead us to sin. Now that is to say, for example, a person who, an example would be of a flaw is a person who does not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. His remembrance of Allah is a little less than it's supposed to be. It's a flaw, but it doesn't lead him to sin. Whereas on the other hand, you have something like, when a person lies, accidentally lies, that's a flaw, they weren't able to control what they were saying, and that lie was there. And so not only was that a flaw, it was also a sin. So we're asking Allah that, وَتَحِرْنِي فِيهِ مِنَ الْعُيُوبِ, at least purify us from these flaws that result in sin. Of course, we want to go further and say, purify us from all flaws, Make it not just sins, but things that, are shortcomings in our part. An example would be, we have, a pimple on our face. We keep looking at the mirror, disgusted by that one pimple on our face. And we're wondering how this could have happened. Why is this blemish on my face? But we have no idea how many stains and blemishes are there on our souls. Sin is actually a blemish on the soul. It may not be apparent on the physical, material level, but nonetheless, it's there. The effects of it remain. Now, we do our best to get rid of all stains and blemishes, get the stains off our clothes, iron out every single wrinkle there is on our shirts. Something comes on our face, we apply all kinds of lotions and creams. If there is a sickness in our body, any kind of pain, we go the extra step of treating it, curing it, whatever the case may be. We do all of these, but what about those flaws that have those stains and blemishes that are on our soul every day? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked, يسألونك عن الروح. صلي على محمد وعلي. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked about the ruh, concerning the ruh. You know, so Allah says, oh Prophet, tell them that the ruh is from your Lord. Your soul, your spirit is from your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can imagine how sacred of a thing this makes it. Allah says in the Holy Quran that when he tells the angels, oh angels, when I blow my spirit into Adam alayhi salam, bow to him in prostration. Do sajda to him. So let's go back and, you know, see, we see all these flaws in our clothes, in our faces, in our houses, our cars, but we always overlook the flaws in our souls, and inshallah we can take that time to purify ourselves from those flaws and those sins. Then it says, وَامْتَحِنْ قَلْبِ فِيهِ بِالتَّقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. O Allah, after you have washed away my sins, after you have purified my flaws, then examine my heart with the piety of the hearts. Examine my heart for the piety of the hearts. Which means take an imtihan, you know, take an examination of my heart. Expect from it, after these two things I've done, expect from it that piety, that taqwa is supposed to come out of it. Now, Allah has entrusted upon us a few duties. He is our Rabb. He has ordained or designated us for us to be Rabbs, to be Rabb in this world. He's the one who cares, you know, he's that kind of Rabb. And if we were to be that ambassador of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to manifest within ourselves those attributes. So let's try to become, you know, an attribute of Allah's lordship. You know, be those kind of people who are caretakers in this world, who take care of those who deserve to be taken care of. So that is what the true Khalifa is. You know, when we say the vicegerent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Khalifa of Allah on this earth is one whose character we can see the attributes of Allah. So this line was, وَمْتَحِنْ قَلْبِي فِيهِ بِالتَّقْوَى الْقُلُوكِ. One of those examples of those ambassadors is being ambassadors of His justice, being ambassadors of His mercy. If we start becoming these things, if we try to manifest within ourselves some attributes of God, Allah has promised that He'll give us more attributes of His. And so when this, you know, like, whoever undertakes this designation of being the ambassador of His attributes, being the manifestation of His attributes, there is a great reward for that. Anybody who denies it and opposes it, there's a great punishment for that as well. So we're asking that, you know, our hearts be prepared with that taqwa, so that when our hearts are examined, true taqwa, true piety, true God consciousness emanates from it. And the next point is, there is no blessing in this world that Allah will give us without a test or trial. We can be given many things in this world, but the hereafter is where the true examination, the true test of our, you know, what we are able to do, we have to work for that. A child who is born in a wealthy household will grow up a wealthy child. A person who starts a business in a time when there's an economic boom, his business will pick up, he'll find monetary success. But the hereafter, things that everybody has to work hard for is the preparation of the heart, is the purification of the heart. So, and it works in such a system that, you know, once you pass the first test of our heart, then of course there's a greater or harder task. And it's something that continues. There's a chain of how that happens. Allah keeps testing us in every step of the way. Every blessing He gives us, anything that happens in our life is a test for us. So the last line is, Ya muqila athiratil mudhnibin. O one who overlooks the shortcomings of the sinners. Now we are all mudhnibin here. We're all sinners. Mudhnibin are those who sin. None of us here are ma'soom. You know, we accidentally commit sins. We sometimes forgetfully commit sins. Whatever the case may be. But Allah has given us so many tools that we can always improve our situation. No matter how much you sin, He has always given us something that we can always return back to Him. Like the narration we have about Adam alayhi salam, he says, oh Allah, You've given, you know, shaitan the opportunity or the ability, the freedom to do as he wills, to misguide mankind, to deviate them from the right path. What have You given us? What do we have? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, we have kept the door of tawbah open for you. We have kept the door of repentance open for you. So Allah says, you know, in many places, in many of our riwayat, we find that every time we make an intention to do a bad act, to commit a sin, He does not punish us until we commit that sin. Every time we make an intention to a good act, and even if you don't follow through with that good act, you get the reward for it. So it's really you know, the favor that Allah has put upon us is really strange in that sense. He says He won't punish you until you commit the actual sin. And not only that, when you actually do commit the sin, it's not recorded all of a sudden. If you do a good act, even if you do a niyat of a good act, it's recorded. But a sin is not recorded immediately. You're always given, Allah says you'll always have, there will be a muhlat, you know, there will be an opportunity for always to repent. They say there's a, you know, a certain amount of time within which you're allowed to be, within which you can ask for forgiveness, and that sin will be as, will be just as equal as not being recorded. So this chance is there because this person can always do tawbah, this person can always repent. And if he repents, there is, you know, this act will not be recorded. So this month of Ramadan is one of the greatest favors of Allah upon us. There is a riwayat by the Ahlul Bayt that says, unfortunate is that person who spends these nights of Qadr in worship and doesn't achieve forgiveness. So we shall try, inshallah, that we try to put an end to all those bad habits of ours, those acts which lead us, which deviate us from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We strive and we pray that, inshallah, we begin in our lives many good acts, many good forms of worship, inshallah. And we begin to undertake these good actions. Whatever sins we have in the past, may Allah forgive them. And inshallah, prepare us to do more good acts. Wa akhir da'wana wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.